You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope that you've had a great week. I watched Pamela, A Love Story on Netflix, and I have to say, I absolutely loved it. I was crying by the end of it. It's produced by her son, Brandon Thomas Lee, and directed by the great Ryan White, who's been a guest of mine. He made The Keepers on Netflix, which is still to this day one of my most favorite docuseries. In Pamela, A Love Story, you are given access not only to her diaries, but a collection of home movies. From the beginning, she is exceptionally honest, detailing the moment she got raped at age 12 and the year she was molested by a childhood female babysitter, how she had wished for her to die and for her to be killed in a car crash the very next day, which caused years of regret and anguish. Her voice is still soft and high like many sexual assault survivors. She takes you through her career being spotted on a jumbotron at a Canadian football game, becoming a Playboy centerfold, and also becoming an actress on Baywatch and in movies like Barbed Wire. She's still unsure of what makes people so fascinated with her body, completely unaware that most women do not have her curves and few are that photogenic. She's humble despite being known throughout the world. She's a hopeless romantic whose own parents seem to have shaped the way she looks at a relationship. They married young, had years of instability and abuse, but are still together. She is still at 55, shocked when she chooses partners based on this criteria, and they don't work out. Her greatest love, Tommy Lee, is the father of her two sons, and she laments that she can't be with him, the one person she believes she loved most. She can't because of the abuse and his drinking and the effect of having an intimate video of them stolen and then distributed without their consent. A video in which they never made any money. And as she points out, it only helped his persona as a wild, sex-crazed rock and roll star. But for her, who had been fighting to become more than just a pinup star, it only damaged her career. But most important and sadly, it felt like she had been assaulted all over again. To think that a few short years later, others would use the narrative of a stolen intimate moment to further their career while she suffered, and that a Hulu series would come out last year without her consent, dramatizing one of the most humiliating moments of her life, and make a character of two people who had a real love and built a family. Although she pangs for true love, you can't help but think she found unconditional love with her sons, with whom one is a producer. You can see their deep love and support and admiration for her, and she is clearly an excellent mother and so kind. She is bubbly and whimsical, but also introspective and thoughtful. She is more than a woman running in a suit across the beach. She is warm and intellectual and probably should have been a writer. She's got notebooks filled with years locked away at her home in Canada, which are filled with books about poetry and meditation. She references Walt Whitman and Thoreau. What I love most is that Ryan White, who I believe is supremely talented, was able to capture her complexities and vulnerability. He shows her full character. She's without makeup most of the time and is still a supreme beauty. And in the end, she's performing in the show Chicago and in her own way making Roxy Hart's story her own. And in this, I feel you will too, like you know her better and that she's taking back her power. It's called Pamela, A Love Story. It's on Netflix right now. I'm telling you, you have to watch it. Must watch. In this episode, I interview the directors of Murder in Big Horn, which investigates the disappearances and possible murders of a group of Native American women in rural Montana. It airs on Showtime this Friday. Within the last decade, dozens of young Indigenous women and girls from the Crow and Northern Cheyenne nations have been murdered or gone missing from Big Horn County and its surrounding area. Arrests are rare in these cases and convictions virtually non-existent. When grieving Native families press law enforcement for answers, they are met with either indifference or silence. Elsewhere in America, these crimes would have shocked a community in the nation. National media would have picked up the story, but outside of the Crow and Northern Cheyenne reservations, it barely registers, leaving a bereft circle of family, friends, and activists on their own fighting for justice. This harrowing three-part series examines the circumstances around each disappearance, the searches for the missing, the details of these deeply problematic law enforcement responses, and the challenges with bringing perpetrators to justice. This series also reveals the historical forces at play that make Native American women some of the most vulnerable people in the country, and not just in Big Horn County. This is told solely through the perspectives of those involved, Native families, local Native journalists, and local law enforcement. And what emerges is a powerful portrait of tribal members and their community battling an epidemic of murdered and missing Indigenous women that was set in motion almost 200 years ago. And in the series, they will give you three examples of women murdered. And I have to tell you, they all were beautiful young women, and their murders are brutal. Absolutely brutal. Showtime debuts Murder in Big Horn on demand and on streaming Friday, February 3rd, and it's on air on Sunday, February 5th at 10 p.m. And with me in this episode, I have the directors Rizelle Benally and Matthew Galkin. Here is my interview. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've done extraordinary work. This three-part series examines this epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women and the girls of the Crow and Northern Cheyenne Nations in Big Horn County, Montana. As a Native American girl, did you experience an ongoing fear of going missing or being murdered as you were growing up?
So growing up,
I was raised in a small town in Oregon for a little bit of my life. And my mom and I moved around a lot, ending up in Rapid City, South Dakota. So a lot of the times I say I grew up in South Dakotas because those were my formative years. I was not allowed to go off by myself. A lot of times I grew up with brothers and they could do whatever they want, but I wasn't allowed to, I didn't have much autonomy, and it wasn't super strict. Like I didn't fight to like want to go off and do things on my own. I just knew. And my parents were always very clear with like, you know, you're a girl, you're native. We just don't want you to get stolen. And you could get abducted. And I understood, like I knew that from a very young age. So it's not like I fought to go by myself places. But because I did grow up in a small town, I could go to the corner store, which is two tiny town blocks away. But at the same time, I when we're traveling, definitely not a big no-no. Like I've grown up with this. And in high school, I would get followed around by random cars in Rapid City. The Pine Ridge Indian Reservation is right there. Rapid City is a border town, much like Billings is to the reservations of Crow and Northern Cheyenne. So yes, there was definitely a fear there growing up. I've understood since the beginning that, you know, it was dangerous for me to be alone.
What was that like for your parents? Did you ever have a conversation with them, especially as an adult, about the pressure that they must have felt to protect you?
It wasn't so much a conversation. Both my parents went to boarding school, and because of that, there was almost like a disconnect, especially with my mom and I, where she had a hard time expressing, love in a way. But even though she did go to boarding school, it wasn't so much of like these conversations were had when I was an adult. It just was an innate understanding growing up. Like, it's just how it is, you know? So there wasn't much of a formal conversation in my adult years about it. It's like, made this doc series now. They came to the premiere and it was emotional for everybody.
How did you two pair up, and what is it about the two of you working together, do you think made this story so powerful to tell?
We paired up because Showtime originally had brought me a general idea, seeing if I would be interested in exploring the issue of MMIW, which I knew nothing about. I'm a white male, have very little experience within the Native community. And I knew if I were to do this, and I thought long and hard whether I was even the right person to do this, but I did ultimately decide that I could contribute something to this project. But I definitely needed a Native collaborator, a Native co-director to do it with. From my point of view, I think what makes this such a powerful series is because I am an ignorant white male, and mm-hmm. Rizelle is a Native woman. We're both filmmakers. We talked for months about the creative direction of this project before Rizelle agreed to join me. And so if you drew a Venn diagram of me and Rizelle, I think in the middle you have a creative alignment of what this series should be and could be, and we think ultimately became. But then, you know, over here you have me as a ignorant white male, and you have Rizelle as a Native woman. And so it was important for me to bring some of that naivete into this process because we wanted this to appeal to the widest possible audience. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be highly visible to everyone. And so if we could build it where it was emotionally resonant for me, having not lived this experience, we thought it could be emotionally resonant for virtually everyone in this country outside of a Native community.
But we weren't just worried about just making it, you know, palatable to broad audiences. It was also important for us and me in particular that, you know, it was specific and authentic enough for our own communities to watch and feel like, yeah, we got it right, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really that finding that balance of the two.
And that's the experience that Rizal brings that I could never in a million years be able to do on my own. Mm-hmm. That level of authenticity. So,
well, you beautifully tell the story of three girls and each of them their own set of circumstances and use locals to really express how deep these losses are. So you tell the story of Henny Scott, age 14, Kaysera Stops Pretty Places, 18, and Selena Not Afraid, age 16. What can you tell us about those three girls?
Every single one of them was loved and will be remembered by their families. And the world is a darker place without their smiles and their personalities. I think each one of these girls represented something far greater than they could have ever known. And their passing has created has created a wave within the movement that is still moving today. And I guess what I learned about these girls was, you know, even to this day and age, you know, people, you can still see their smiles and their love for their people is still felt, you know?
These were girls who were loving members of families who just disappeared and their bodies were beaten up and their poor families had to, in some cases, see their bodies. These are Native American girls who are truly invisible to law enforcement. And I love that you really kind of outlined some next steps of how this could stop. So there's the ultimate goal is getting those policies changed that affect due diligence, that affect how quickly someone is named missing, how quickly law enforcement pursues what happened to them. But even before that, just protecting the environment that they're living in. So the ultimate goal is getting those policies changed, allowing Native people to advocate for themselves and creating their own laws and exercise tribal sovereignty. It does seem like it's a very complicated issue also because of jurisdictions. Could you, Matthew, explain the complication with cases and jurisdictions?
Sure. So Bighorn County in particular, and I think I know that this is an issue elsewhere in the country, Bighorn County has numerous jurisdictions. You have the Bighorn County Sheriff's Office, which is tasked with policing non-Native lands within Bighorn County. So that would include the town of Hardin, which is a border town. When you're on a reservation, that is under the federal jurisdiction of the Bureau of Indian Affairs or the FBI, usually the BIA. And, you know, the BIA is tasked with covering a tremendous amount of land within Montana. And there's a handful of officers. So resources are certainly an issue there. But things get very complicated when, say, Kaysera Stops Pretty Places, who is Native, is killed off of Native land in Bighorn County. So now she's under the jurisdiction of the Bighorn County Sheriff's Office, who frankly has a terrible track record of putting resources towards solving the murders of Native women. So it's highly complicated. And a lot of times these cases fall through the cracks because no one seems to want to claim responsibility for actually doing a proper investigation. Historically and traditionally, the FBI is called in by the local jurisdiction. So it's sort of up to the Bighorn County Sheriff's Office to invite the FBI in or the BIA and say, we need help, come bring your resources. And a lot of times that doesn't happen. And so, you know, some of the legislation that's been passed has to do with getting these agencies to communicate better, to creating a protocol that can go into effect when someone goes missing or when someone has been killed, regardless of the jurisdiction. It's, you know, sort of ideally everyone is aligned and in it together to help these families. And that certainly has not been the case historically.
It's almost as if it's the perfect place to commit a crime because there's no communication. The jurisdiction is always a question. And then in addition to that, this crisis goes even back to colonization, back to federal policies that provide for lack of law enforcement, lack of jurisdiction, lack of justice for community members. Rizal, can you explain how it goes back 200 years?
Yeah, so when settlers first came to this country, they wanted the land. And when you want to take the land, you know, and people are living on it, you have to basically get rid of it, get rid of the people that are on the land so that you can conquer and take. When those people fight back, you go for the vulnerable. You target the women because women are life givers, they're culture bearers, they're keepers of the home. And when you target the women, that's what you get with genocide and continued violence against Native women, especially with the laws in existence and the government. The laws aren't made to protect Native peoples. And so when you put the people that you remove from the land on reservations and you confine them there, and there's laws in existence to supposedly protect everyone else, and we're a sovereign nation, those laws don't necessarily extend to the protection of our people. And that's where you get this perfect storm of loopholes, of jurisdictional issues, and, you know, vulnerable peoples. That's what happens. So colonization is directly, you know, reminiscent. I should say the violence today against Native women is directly reminiscent of colonization and is directly affected.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Well, it ends with a list of 70 names of missing or murdered Indigenous girls and women in the greater Bighorn community. And these, though, are documented cases. How many cases do you believe, could you guess, are undocumented?
Not in Bighorn County or just everywhere else?
Both.
Countless, hundreds. My own family has cases where we believe we know something happened to family members, friends, And but they're not documented as possible murders. They're, again, we always, I shouldn't say we, law enforcement always writes down the cause and manner of death as hyperthermia and accidental. You know, so I'm sure there's plenty of cases that are accidental hyperthermia that were, that can actually be considered possible murder. We just don't know. It's hard to really say, but I would guess thousands, hundreds.
Well, also just to put into perspective, Henny, it was said that she died of hypothermia. She had cigarette burns on her body. Her nose seemed to be displaced. Mm-hmm. She had a hole that seemed in the back of her head. This is a girl, a 14-year-old girl who's beaten. So it may have said hypothermia on the autopsy, but she certainly suffered. She was tortured before she was murdered. What can we do as we watch this? As I finished it, I felt like I have to do something to help. What can we all do as we watch this to help the Native American women who have been ignored, have been invisible?
Our series paired up with the NIWRC, the National Indians Women Resource Center, and they're based out of Lame Deer, Montana. They are the organization who are how do I say this, Matthew?
They've put together a tremendous amount of resources in support of Indigenous women through different initiatives, whether it's domestic abuse or substance abuse. Also just, they're an incredible resource of information. And Lucy Simpson, who's the executive director, is featured prominently in the series. And so we partnered up with the organization. That's a great place to start for anyone who feels compelled to to continue this conversation beyond our series. At the end of the third hour, there's a, their website is there, but we'll just tell it to you right now so all can hear. It's niwrc.org. It's as complete a resource as I have ever seen for an issue, for a nonprofit. It's incredible.
What has this project meant to both of you?
Well, for me, it's being able to give visibility to an issue that's plagued their communities for so long. And that, unfortunately, that feels so innate and inherent in our generation. It's being able to declare that this issue is urgent and that the world needs to know about it. So for me, it became much, much more than just being able to stand up and help do this, but it really is for the greater good.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've been making documentaries for 25 years. This is another step in me actually learning about the country that I live in and was born in. This is the history they don't teach you in, you know, the suburbs where I grew up. So it was incredibly eye-opening and educational for me from a historical point of view. And then from a humanistic point of view, I mean, I feel like I connected with families that I'll know forever. That at the beginning of this process is what compelled me. It's not a Native issue. It's a human issue for me. It is obviously a Native issue in a lot of ways, but you know, these families they're decimated and they needed help and they wanted to get their stories out. And this is the platform that we can give them. This is what we can do directly to help them.
Murder in Bighorn debuts on demand and on streaming Friday, February 3rd, and on air on Sunday, February 5th at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Thank you both so much for coming to the show. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram.
You can find me through my company. It's www.fairhavenfilms.com.
Thank you both.
Take care. Thank you.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guests, Roselle and Matthew, and remind you to click subscribe and leave a 5-star review. If you want to get access to my must-watch list, which comes out every Monday, go to katecasey.substack.com. Make sure you sign up because you do not want to miss that list, I'm telling you, it's going to make your life so much easier each week, especially when you have friends coming over or family visiting and you're looking for something to watch together, or maybe you just want some time for yourself. It's just like a pocket during the week where you have some time and you just want to completely escape from your world, or you want to engage in some sort of discussion about somebody who lives in another part of the world and be part of their lives. So go to katecasey.substack.com. You can join my Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey, by just putting it in the search button. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. You can find me on Instagram at Kate Casey, C-A, on TikTok at It's Kate Casey. You can get bonus episodes on my Patreon by going to Patreon, patreon.com/Kate Casey. And make sure you do so, because this week I have an open episode, a public episode, where I talk about the Lindsay Clancy case and postpartum depression and psychosis. And Caitlin Ray Clark joins me in the episode to talk about her experience with postpartum depression. If you are a young mother, I beg of you to listen to it. If you're suffering in silence, please reach out to somebody. And I really think it's an important episode to listen to. And I'm so grateful for Caitlin coming forward and telling her story. So that's at Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey. Also coming up in this coming week, I've got another What to Watch episode. I have an interview with RJ Cutler, the famed Academy Award nominated director of a great new docuseries airing on MGM+. I've got an interview with Jody Weber about a case that I've been obsessed with for years called the DC Mansion Murders. And I'm also so excited that next week I will be interviewing Ginger Duggar. She's just released a book. And of course, you remember her from the Duggars show on TLC for many, many years. And I'm so looking forward to talking to her. And I know that you will want to listen to what she says as well. So make sure that you're subscribing to the show so that you get these episodes in your inbox or in your queue so that you know whenever a new episode pops up. And just to also remind you that I'm now doing 4 episodes a week. So new episodes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of each week. As always, I'm hoping that you have a great weekend. You deserve it. And plenty of more stuff coming your way next week. Thank you as always.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery+. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.